It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
Kevin McCullough Radio, big, huge show for you today. We've got a lot of stuff to think about and to talk about. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, why it matters. Stay with us. So much to talk about, so much to get to. We will speak with Congressman Lee Zeldin. You know, he's not in the primary race that is tomorrow. He already took care of that. But there's a lot that he's still running for in the general election. We want to get his take on why. Speaking of Tate's take, that's Kristen B. Tate. She'll be with us as well. And we start with one of the president's sons. Stay with us.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right. Thank you for being here. I also failed to mention that the man that I wish was mayor, Mr. Katsimatidis, will be checking in before the end of the hour as well. So it's a big, busy hour right here in Drive Time. As always, Kevin McCullough, thanking you for making the choice. My next guest is someone I've looked forward to having on, and we've just had near misses in recent months, but we finally worked it out, and everybody's schedule was able to be accommodated. His name is Eric Trump, and if you're going, I know who that is, you're exactly right. That's the guy. Eric, welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio. It's good to have you.
Kevin, it's great to be here.
What is it like inside the Trump family dinners right now as these elections are approaching? I mean, we're less than 60 days away, and if Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi gets to pull the light switch over in the House, it is really it could be really problematic for your dad's administration going forward. What is the discussion around the dinner table about this election that's less than 60 days away now?
Well, listen, I don't, you know, they talk about Maxine Waters. I don't think they have any message. I don't think they have any clear message, right? I mean, right now, they're flailing in the wind. We have the greatest economy this country's ever seen. We have 4.2% GDP growth, which is unheard of. We've got the lowest unemployment this country's ever had at 3.9% unemployment, the lowest African-American unemployment, the lowest female unemployment, the lowest Hispanic unemployment. You have 3% wage growth. It's the first time the wages have gone up in 16 years in this nation. You have the largest tax decreases, you know, meaning tax cuts,
right,
in the history of the country. You have markets, the Dow, the NASDAQ, you know, they're breaking record highs every day. People's 401ks are going through the roof. You've got 4 million people off of food stamps. I mean, I can keep on going and going and going. And then you look at their message, right? I mean, what is their message? Their message is, let's raise taxes and undermine all this economic growth that we have for the first time in a very long time as a country. Let's attack law enforcement, some of the bravest men and women there are out there, and let's ban plastic straws. And those messages aren't, I mean, they're not going to work, Kevin. I mean, they're not going to work. I mean, look at consumer confidence right now. Look at how many jobs are coming back into America. You know, look at the manufacturing coming back into this country. Look at, you know, look at what's happening with these great trade deals with China, right? I mean, our markets are at record highs. You know, China is down 21% this year. They're, right, you know, the worst performing major, you know, industry in the world. We are doing unbelievable by every account. And, you know, here you have Maxine Waters talking about, let's impeach Trump, let's impeach Pence, let's impeach everybody. You know, that's not a message that wins. I mean, it's just not a message.
I don't think that it is. And sadly, I don't think that most of the American people do. But the unfair thing about what's happening in 60 days is that between now and then, nearly every media outlet in Manhattan here, nearly every newspaper editorial page in most big cities, and every Democrat on every ticket up and down the ballot are going to be talking about things that don't matter. And they're going to obsess. They're going to suck all the oxygen out of the room talking about this stuff when everything you just listed. The real message here is, look, if you elect them, you undo everything that Eric just said. So
Quite frankly, I think, Kevin, I think the markets would crash You know, it's amazing. I'll never forget reading the New York Times. You know, my father during the campaign would come out and say, you know, my greatest, you know, goal as a president is to have over 3% GDP growth, you know, every term I'm in office. I think I can do it. In fact, I think I can do much better. But that'd be my greatest goal, because America would be back economically if we could have greater than 3%. The New York Times, the LA Times, all these newspapers, all these pundits came out, you know, wishful thinking, candidate Trump is crazy if he thinks that the U.S. can achieve 3% GDP growth. We're at 4.2. We're at 4.1%. They actually have to revise it upward because it's better. Many of the analysts on the street right now think that GDP growth is going to be in the high fours next quarter, right? Our economy is booming. They were laughing at him when he said that he thought he could get over 3% GDP growth, and now none of them even talk about it, and that's how disingenuous the system is.
Well, if I remember correctly, his predecessor, and I just wrote a column about this on Sunday, I really do think that this election is pitching two people that aren't on the ballot. It's one, President Trump, whose policies are all at play, and it's the previous president, President Obama, who's now gone on the campaign trail and is trying to say about how great everything was during his day. But Eric, I saw the statistic. It blew me away. In 8 years, President Obama never presided over one day, not one day in 8 years, did the market set a new high during 8 years of his administration. Under your dad's first 600 days, 99 of the 600 days have been all-time highs for a market of some sort. One day a week, basically, since he's been in office, they have hit an all-time high. Again, you can choose progress or you can choose regression, but I think people would be silly to go that way. Let me ask you this. I've noticed that your dad has gotten out earlier on the trail than most Republican presidents do. A lot of Republican presidents don't even campaign in the midterms, but he's gone out. Is he going to keep up this pace or maybe even slightly increase it as we get closer to November 7th?
There's no question. I mean, he's a machine. First of all, he likes to be out there. He likes to be in front of people. He does very well talking to the people. And, you know, everybody, you hear all these pundits, they often say, you know, Trump has to give up Twitter. I laugh at them. I mean, why? So you can filter his message through your little medians? I mean, that can't work. I mean, my father likes to go out there and he likes to talk directly to people. And quite frankly, if everything got filtered through today's media, the coastal media, no one could win. Meaning if you didn't have a loud enough voice, that you could go out there and you could speak directly to the masses. And I think it's one of the things that he's done, you know, tremendously well. And, you know, he has to. I mean, no one talks, Kevin, you know, one of the things that he's really passionate about, that my sister's really passionate about, that Jared's really passionate about, prison reform. Never been touched, right? I mean, it's a broken system. It's never been touched. No one talks about what they're doing to reform the prison system and you know, how beneficial that can be to society. No one's talking about the opioid crisis that they're fighting, you know, every single day. No one talks about, meaning when I talk about the media, you know, the fact that ISIS, when he came into office, there was 45,000 roughly, that's what they estimate, ISIS fighters in the world. They say there's less than 1,000 today. I mean, he's all but decimated ISIS. You know, he took the handcuffs off the military and let them do what they do best. And for all intents and purposes, you know, they're gone. And I think it's especially, you know, fitting, you know, a day after 9/11 to mention that.
Absolutely.
Believe me, these people are savages and they want to do much more of that. I mean, it's amazing. They never want to talk about these, but yet, you know, an Omarosa can come out with some sensational book because she wants to put 3 cents in her pocket, you know, and it will be headline news every single night. And that's the, you know, injustice in the system. You know, you had a lot of people who got it wrong. They called it wrong. The New York Times said that he had a 1% chance of winning on Election Day. They got it wrong, and they doubled down, and they doubled down again, and they doubled down again. And, you know, the Maxine Waters come out and say, let's impeach. You've got the scope of Joe Scarborough saying that, you know, Trump is worse than 9/11. I mean, you have all these insane comments, and people are sick and tired of it, and I'm telling you, it's going to backfire. I mean, it's going to backfire on them.
Well, it's interesting because I think the Democrats are kind of schizophrenic in what they're dealing with right now because they don't know what their party wants to be. They don't know if their union blue-collar workers in the Rust Belt or if they're extreme socialists living in the New York suburbs. And I know one thing, those union households that are blue-collar workers whose production plants have reopened, whose manufacturing plants have reopened, whose jobs have returned, that your dad won in Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Ohio and North Carolina, and he wasn't supposed to. I know that those people aren't that impressed with Bernie Sanders and the socialist message and what that end of the Democratic Party wants to be. So I think the more he gets out there and backs these people, I think I don't see any blue wave coming. In fact, at worst, I think it's a blue trickle. But I think that there's a good possibility that you guys hold both houses, and we're going to be talking about it right up to the very end. Eric, I'm so grateful for you stopping by. Please come back anytime here at Kevin McCullough Radio. Standing invitation.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kevin, for the friendship, and I will be back often. I can't wait.
All right. Kevin McCullough Radio, when we come back, Kristen B. Tate has to talk a little bit about what liberals are expecting by way of government spending and why it's the wrong thing to do, and Lee Zeldin also with us. Don't go anywhere. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We are looking at some heavy volume here this afternoon on the northbound west side highway in pockets from the 90s to the 130s, then pretty heavy north of the 130s up to the George Washington Bridge. FDR northbound slows, Williamsburg Bridge right up into the 70s with an accident cleared now. And we're slow 130s to the George Washington Bridge. Southbound slows 130s right down into the 50s. Cross Bronx, westbound jammed up from 3rd Avenue to the GW Bridge. Eastbound heavy off the bridge out towards White Plains Road. Deegan northbound slows RFK Triborough up to the Cross Bronx. Southbound slows from Van Cortlandt Park into the Cross Bronx Expressway. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson River, back to New Jersey at the Holland Tunnel, up to a 30 to 40 minute delay. 30 minutes on average, but except from Canal Street, that'll be the 40 minute one. 15 on the citybound side. Lincoln Tunnel, 15 minutes outbound. Lincoln Tunnel, citybound, less than a 5 minute wait. George Washington Bridge, pretty good ride. In New Jersey, a lot of stop and go on the Parkway southbound from 151 down to exit 140. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back to school basics from Staples. Today's lesson, ancient history. Staples has your back-to-school essentials in stock and always at low prices. And when everything you need for school is guaranteed to be in stock, that back-to-school list quickly becomes, you guessed it, ancient history. Get your degree in back-to-school shopping today at your local Staples, the back-to-school specialty store, where everything you need for school is in stock, guaranteed.
In-store only. Ends 9/22/18. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/back-to-school-in-stock for details.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Today's salute to Staten Island. You know, the fun facts we've been doing, and these are fun. I'm glad that we're doing. I'm learning a lot by these, by the way, is brought to you by the Nicotra Group, owners of that beautiful Hilton Garden Inn and Lorenzo's Restaurant, Bar, and Cabaret, presenting the CSN songs, the music of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. That's coming up this Friday, September the 14th. Now, of course, I want you to listen to Mr. Joe Piscopo tomorrow morning at 7:40, as he will give the very question I'm about to give you a sneak peek on. But if you already know the answer, you can start calling as soon as 7:40 to get in line to give the answer. Daily winners are going to get a $25 gift card from Modell's Sporting Goods. They've got three locations on Staten Island, and as everybody knows, you got to go to Mo's. All daily winners will be eligible to win a grand prize of two tickets to attend that beautiful New Year's Eve gala at Nicotra's Ballroom in the Garden Inn, valued at more than $400. Now, stay tuned. Here is tomorrow's trivia question right now. Who was the last Staten Islander to run for statewide office? Again, who was the last Staten Islander to run for statewide office? One more time, who was the last Staten Islander to run for statewide office? Joe Piscopo is going to ask that question tomorrow morning at 7:40. Go Google the answer now so that you've got the answer. And then get in line to win your $25 gift card from Modell's and maybe that beautiful grand prize evening at the Hilton Garden Inn on New Year's Eve. Do it now. That's AM 970, The Answer.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce, and no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar, or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
Libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
What a time, what a week, what an experience it is to get our Tate take today, because Kristen is back. She's been away on vacation, but man, the primaries are heating up. The general election's around the corner, and it's just going to be crazy. And all you folks on Twitters that are trying to get at me, trying to say, because I said earlier today, Kristen, the man that's running for your Senate seat down there in Texas, Mr. O'Rourke, I said that he's basically an extension of Ocasio-Cortez, and some people didn't take kindly to that. No. And they said, he's nothing like Cortez. I said, well, he wants to abolish ICE, so what are we talking about here? I mean, anyway, welcome back. Good to have you. Thanks for coming on board.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. And yes, I totally agree with your assessment on what's happening here in Texas.
It's interesting, that Senate seat, because all of the money that's coming to back him isn't from Texans.
That's exactly right. It sort of reminds me of that race in Georgia. Remember that, with that really well-funded Democrat who ended up losing badly down there? The special election. I can't remember the name of that candidate, but we've seen time and time again over the last few years that these Democrats who have a lot of buzz around them and are extremely well-funded end up not performing as well as expected, simply because while they may be popular on the coast and with media elites, they're not that popular in their home states and communities.
Yeah.
But, Kevin, I do have to tell you, in Houston, Texas, and in Austin and in Dallas, cities where I spend a lot of time, Beto is quite popular. I see signs for him everywhere. I see bumper stickers for him everywhere. So I do think he could perform better than a Democrat should in Texas, and that's scary. I don't think he'll win, but he'll perform much better than a Democrat should.
Well, it's interesting you pointed out those cities, because if people are listening don't know, those are the blue strongholds now in that state that you've been identifying in some of your writings, where they move there from other areas and they bring their big government liberal policies with them, and they end up turning red areas blue. And the state needs to be aware of that. I do think that Cruz is going to be successful. I hope it's not as tight as what people are predicting it. But I don't see someone who's fought as hard for what real Texas values looks like just being washed away by even a guy that seems as polished as O'Rourke.
I agree with that. However, I also think that just assuming Cruz will win would be a problem for Texans. All these races come down to mobilization.
Right.
And Republicans should never get too comfortable.
GOTV, baby. GOTV.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. Hey,
so
now we could be stuck with a Democrat.
So Kristen is also an opinion contributor to The Hill, and she does great work. Friends, if you've not bought her most recent book, How Do I Tax Thee? You need to be going and getting that and reading it and giving it to your friends, because it really will open your eyes on all the ways you pay taxes that you don't even know, you're not even aware of, and yet she has uncovered the great scandal. But you talk about in your most recent column, Kristen, about debt and government and what the Republicans have kind of fallen into a trap on here and how it could really come back to bite them. Explain what you mean.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just the debt. The debt's a big problem, but I think an even bigger problem, which I also touch on in that column, is unfunded liabilities. We cannot keep spending at the rate we're spending. We cannot keep a lot of the promises that we've made to government workers. So it's a scary situation. And unfortunately, Republicans, and I include President Trump in that category, have not really differentiated themselves from the Democrats when it comes to spending. While Trump has been a very bold political figure when it comes to issues like immigration, which is fantastic, he really doesn't talk about slashing spending a whole lot. In fact, he weirdly, for a Republican, ran on increasing spending, on not cutting Medicaid and Social Security. So these are issues that are important, and I think if Republicans don't really make a bold line in the sand and differentiate themselves from the left, it'll be a mistake, not just politically, but economically, and it's the young people who are going to, you know, bear the burden of this spending in the form of higher taxes, higher costs, and an ever-growing debt that eventually will become a real tangible problem for us.
Well, Kristen, I totally am sympathetic to everything you're explaining. But when you're talking about the races for the congressional seats this year, are you actively saying that what they should be doing is as a Republican going into their district and campaigning openly against the policies of their own party? The reason I ask that question is because the other side is so bad, and I feel like that if you're going to win the race, you've got to focus on how extreme the other side is. And if you're saying that my party got it all wrong, like, how productive is that for them to take the seat? Now, I admit, once they get to D.C., there's a different level of accountability. You got to walk the walk.
Right.
But what would your campaign strategy be for them between now and November?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that infighting is a problem and they should not be attacking their fellow Republicans. However, that doesn't mean that congressional candidates can't take a very fiscally conservative stance while campaigning.
Sure.
That doesn't mean bashing Trump or other Republicans. But this is something that a lot of Americans are concerned about. It consistently ranks in the top 3 to 5 issues government spending does. And yet we get these ideologues in Washington and all of a sudden they don't make good on their promises. So people are starting to get fed up. And I do think there's, you know, some of these Tea Party undercurrents that are starting to swell up again. And we want leadership on this issue. It's something so important and more than just talking points. So I'd love to see candidates start shining a spotlight on this issue.
Yeah. How do you feel about the level of defense spending that the Republicans pushed through? And the reason I ask is because it's very important to me. I've got family members that are serving in forward areas right now, and our fleets in air and sea are aging and rusty, and there's some problems there. Do we have to give up all of the defense spending to get this in order, or can we do it through other entitlements?
Well, we need to cut back on everything, and I would include defense spending in that, Kevin. Of course, we want a strong military, we want strong defense, but often that comes down to spending smarter, not spending more. There is an incredible amount of waste going on, and the military-industrial complex is real. This is all about giving contracts to buddies of people on Congress.
All right. I'm not in disagreement with you on the corruption side of it. So we'll pick up that conversation for another time. Friends, if you miss any of Tate's takes, get on the podcast page for Kevin McCullough Radio. Kristen's good to have you. Thanks for being here.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have cloudy skies. We sit at 76 degrees on this Wednesday afternoon. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, the City Council's Transportation Committee wants the MTA to provide electric buses for the upcoming L train shutdown. Here's Scott Pringle with more.
The MTA is going to try and send 80 buses per hour over the Williamsburg Bridge at peak times. And this is to accommodate L train riders when their line is out of action. Well, Councilman Rafael Espinal, he wants those buses to be electric.
This is going to have a huge impact in the Lower East Side and Northern Brooklyn. These are neighborhoods that have some of the worst air quality the city has to offer. Each diesel bus is equivalent to having 22 cars on the road.
The Transportation Committee passed a resolution formally asking the MTA to provide electric for the shutdown. Well, the MTA is doing a pilot program on electric buses and has not said yet how many or if any will be used as part of the replacement service. At City Hall, Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
Experts say the odds of Hurricane Florence having a major impact on the New York City area are very slim. James Flippin has more.
Meteorologist Joel Klein of the National Hurricane Center telling the New York Times it's extremely unlikely that Florence continues up to the tri-state area as a hurricane or tropical storm. A ridge of high pressure exists between the city and the storm, meaning it's likely to continue on a west by northwest track. unfortunately likely stalling over the Carolinas, leading to potentially devastating rainfall totals. That same rain could reach New York by Monday or Tuesday. That rain, the most likely impact for the region. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New York.
In sports, the Yankees wrap up their series in Minnesota against the Twins. The Mets have a single admission doubleheader this afternoon. Unfortunately, Game 1 is being delayed by rain. Hopefully, we'll get that game underway. Taking a look at the traffic, outbound Holland Tunnel, a 45-minute delay. Citybound side, we're okay. 15 each way at the Lincoln Tunnel. You're good at the George Washington Bridge. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance of a shower. Low 71. Clouds tomorrow. High 77. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, we talk about it every day. Decision 18. It's right around the corner. But what kind of impact will these most important midterm elections of our lifetimes, as I like to call them, have on the markets and your investments and your portfolio and your retirement? Well, Gary Goldberg's here to give us some perspective on that. Gary, how should we read what happens in November?
Well, first of all, let's get the craziness behind us. We got November 6th coming up, less than 2 months away. Markets react very volatilely, if there's such a word, prior to a midterm election. They typically come down before the election and rally significantly after the election. That's because the uncertainty is done away with after the election. So for your listeners, Kevin, you don't want people to jump out and try to time the market. That is foolish. It's the time in the market, not timing the market, that makes people money. And if you can envision a comparison, when somebody buys a farm, they shouldn't buy it because it's going to rain in a week or a month or a year. You buy it because of what it can produce over a period of time. Don't overreact to midterm elections. They're going to be there's going to be volatility. Just ride it through, in my opinion.
All right. So Gary Goldberg saying hold during the ups and downs of what the midterm election looks like. And if you've got more specific questions for him, friends, reach out to them. If he's available, he'll always take your call. 800-377-5757. You can also find out more about Gary Goldberg Financial Services online at ggfs.com. That's Gary Goldberg Financial Services, ggfs.com, or 800-377-5757. Gary, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Kevin. Make it a great day.
Football can be a game of numbers, down and distance, yards gained, points scored. But it's the things that can't be measured that matter most. Effort. Intensity. Heart.
Touchdown.
Count on us to give it all we've got right here.
This is Rich DeMarco. Tune in this Saturday at 11:30 as the Black Knights host the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors on our sister station, AM 570 WMCA.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM97TheAnswer.com.
Continuing coverage of Decision 2018. Unparalleled access to assist you in the most important midterm elections of your lifetime. Exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
Good to have you with us, Kevin McCullough, as we continue to focus on the elections that are looming. I mean, they're going to be here in a blink. You realize that, right? November is a half a heartbeat away. And as we get closer to it, there are all kinds of things we want to make sure that we're talking about and that you are maximized in terms of being informed on so that you can make the best decisions possible. It's why I'm honored to have the congressional representative for New York's first congressional district. He's someone that you see on Fox News quite often. In fact, we've not passed in the green room in quite a while, but I'm hoping that one of these days we get to, because Congressman Zeldin, I'd love to have 5 minutes of your time just to talk shop off the air. But welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Happy to. Thanks for having me back.
Let's talk about several things. You're on Foreign Affairs Committee, which is a huge responsibility, and there's so much that has happened in recent days. But John Bolton gave a very interesting speech a couple of days ago, and he basically told the Palestinians that were here that they're not cooperating with the peace process in Israel, and so we've expelled them. We kicked them out. We're not dealing with them right now. What's the real story there?
Well, Ambassador Bolton understands that we need to have not just a strong foreign policy, but also one that is consistent and effective. Understanding our adversaries do not respect weakness, they only respect strength. The PLO and many Palestinians have opposed a peace deal that isn't even crafted yet, without even seeing what might get put down on paper in the future, to just proactively oppose anything is very unproductive. It's as unhelpful as possible. So it's important for Ambassador Bolton, working closely with our president, to send a strong message to the Palestinians that we do have leverage. We're not afraid to utilize it. If you are going to try to undercut our efforts to strengthen America's foreign policy, to help support our allies, and to pursue a long-term and what has been a very elusive peace. So closing the PLO office in Washington, threatening ICC sanctions because the PLO has been threatening to, and they have carried out some of their threats and wanting to go to the ICC to bring war crime charges against the United States, Israel, and others. So Ambassador Bolton gave a speech a couple days ago where he was announcing the decision to close the PLO office and threatening those ICC sanctions. And I think it's sending a very strong message to the Palestinians, especially to the PLO, that their way of doing business isn't going to be acceptable under this president.
Yeah, well, we probably never should have tipped our hat to the ICC. I mean, I never understood that as an entity. I'm so against big federal government in Washington, D.C. Don't even get me started on the idea of some global court having some sort of say over things. Lee Zeldin is who we're speaking with. He's the congressional representative for the 1st District in New York. Congressman, this year is going to be a big year for the control of Congress, and obviously people are watching your race and other races across the country very carefully. What happens if the blue wave even is a blue trickle and they get one vote more than us coming through the November election? What happens?
We need to think, what kind of a country do we want to have in January of 2019? What does that look like? Is that a country that has a Congress led by Speaker Pelosi, where the chair of the Financial Services Committee that I serve on becomes Maxine Waters, where Adam Schiff takes over the Intel Committee and Jerry Nadler takes over the Judiciary Committee? Do we want to pursue more results in trying to find solutions to further improve our national security, to further grow our economy? Or do we want to subscribe to this pledge to oppose, resist, impeach, obstruct everything and anything, because they say that if you work with the president, you're then legitimizing his presidency? What kind of a country do we want in January of 2019? And we need to make sure that we are voting on November 6th to have that country that we seek. We do not want to wake up. No one listening to this show, no one across our entire country should wake up on November 7th and say, well, I wish I voted.
Right.
I wish I did more to have the country that we want. And that's, as you said, it's a half a heartbeat away. I mean, this is going to go by quickly the next few weeks.
Well, and here's what I'd love to see happen, Lee, if I can call you Lee, Congressman. The Please. Idea that when people went to bed in November of 2016, and most of the week run up to it, they'd been told, Hillary's going to walk away with this thing. And, you know, people said, well, OK, that they can say that, but I'm going to go to the polls and I'm going to vote anyway. I'm going to do what I got to do. And they woke up the morning after that election to a very interesting surprise. I think every single person that was invested in that election in 2016 needs to understand that there's an equally important investment. This may be the most important midterms that have ever gone down. And Lee Zeldin's race in Congress 1 of New York is just one example. Congressman, thank you for coming back. We'll have you back again soon. But keep up all the great work that you're doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, Kevin McCullough Radio, we continue live from New York. Stay with us.
New York City Radio and Joe Piscopo are proud to announce the Greater New York Chamber of Commerce Business Expo, Friday, September 21st at the New York Hilton Midtown. Meet Joe at the 9 a.m. ribbon cutting, followed by a day of networking, educational conferences, and giveaways from hundreds of exhibitors, including the New York RX card, T-Mobile's Salute to Heroes, the International Pavilion with Global New York, and a food tasting court with member chamber restaurants. For full details, call 212-CHAMBER or visit their website, chamber.nyc.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. Simply email the question to Mike Connors at askmikeconnors@gmail.com. You can also call 718-238-6500. Make sure that you listen to Mike Connors and Ask the Lawyer Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 570 The Mission and Saturday nights at 6 on AM 970 The Answer.
Ah, the sounds of summer. And this is the sound of summer skin being scratched because of the itching and irritation of what the season can bring. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. Cortisone 10 makes summer sound fun again. Cortisone 10. Feel the heal. Use as directed.
Lois and Richard Nicotra have been cornerstones of the Staten Island community for more than 40 years. They're owners of the fabulous Hilton Garden Inn, Nicotra's Ballroom, Lorenzo's Restaurant, Bar and Cabaret, and Above, a rooftop event space. Whatever your occasion, the Nicotras can accommodate private events from 20 to 1,000 guests and everything in between. Not only is it the perfect place to have a party, but Lois and Richard love cabaret so much they created one 15 years ago. Plan to visit Lorenzo's Cabaret on Friday, September the 14th for the show CSN Songs, an evening celebrating the music of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Relive Woodstock classics and come see our very own Joe Piscopo performing at Lorenzo's on March 22nd. Make your reservations today. Call 718-477-2400 extension 5. That's 718-477-2400 extension 5 or book online at lorenzosdining.com. Watch for the Nicotra Group's newest project in the Corporate Park of Staten Island, opening in fall 2019. Corporate Commons 3 will have 330,000 square feet of prime commercial office space, an organic rooftop farm and vineyard, a social enterprise restaurant where 100% of the profits go to charity, more than 200 tenant companies, and over 25 medical practices. Now leasing. Outsmart Manhattan, the Nicotra way. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, nobody knows more about sleep than my good friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. And you know his pillows are fantastic, but I got to tell you about something else that's equally incredible. When we were about to have ankle biter number 3, my little baby Charlotte, he gave us the MyPillow bed topper. And it radically changed the way my wife experienced that pregnancy. In fact, it kept her in comfort, and we have never been without it since. In fact, even just this morning, I nestled back down in going, oh, this is the best bed topper I've ever felt on any bed ever. It's 3 layers that help give you the support you need, but it also helps evenly distribute your body weight and, most importantly, regulate your body temperature with its ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. The MyPillow mattress topper is the perfect upgrade to any bed you can imagine, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. You can wash it, and it's made in the USA, and it's backed by Mike's famous 60-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. Check out the great deal that you're going to get, 30% off the mattress topper plus 2 free pillows when you call. Here's the number, 800-506-2641. Use promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the promo code AM970. That's 800-506-2641, promo code AM970.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM970. The Answer.
Look around, look around.
He is New York's most beloved billionaire. Most New Yorkers think he would have been a great mayor. And now, New York's Catman, John Catsimatidis, sits exclusively with Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, that is exactly what we do at this time every Wednesday. The Catman himself, the beloved billionaire, the man I wish was mayor in New York City over the joke that we have running things right now. It's just, it's terrible. I'm so discouraged by it. But John Catsimatidis, tell me there's hope on the way because we got elections coming and people can go out and make a difference in the world around them.
Well, I don't know if this is residual rain from the storm that's coming, but it seems, you know, every Labor Day, you know what happens Labor Day?
It rains.
God turns that switch off, and it goes from 95 degrees down to 65 degrees.
It does?
And
the heat kicks on?
The heat kicks on, and I don't have any heat in my apartment.
Oh, no.
I was actually cold last night. You know, they don't turn it on until actually...
they want to see people shivering before they turn it on.
Absolutely.
Well,
and it's getting messy out there.
Well, it is. And tomorrow, you know, they moved Election Day. How did you feel about this, moving Election Day on behalf of 9/11 observance?
Well, they couldn't do it on 9/11. So they used that as an excuse.
They could have, but...
They could have, absolutely.
Was there any advantage to any group by moving it, do you think?
I think there's got to be an advantage to the opponents.
Because the low turnout.
Yeah, very
low turnout. People are confused about the turnout.
Very low turnout. First of all, you have to find out where to place the voters. And if I had to go vote, you know, I'm not a registered Democrat in New York, so I can't vote. But it's a mess out there.
But the Republicans are holding theirs, not the national, but the local state assembly and
I don't think so. There's no Republicans up.
Yeah, no. It's just state offices, though. It's not because the federal ones held theirs in June this year. So Zeldin and all those guys, we were just talking to the congressman. He's already secured his nomination. But like in state races.
But I think all the Republicans are settled for. I think it's Democrats tomorrow.
Well, I think overwhelmingly it's a majority.
99%.
For sure. I mean, so let me.
You know, the big
is
challenge
Cynthia
gonna tomorrow.
Get, is Cynthia going to get more than 15% against Cuomo tomorrow?
Oh, you know, a lot of the newspapers hate Cuomo, but why do you want to nominate a socialist for? As I said before, you know what a socialist is?
Matt Wanning?
No.
Okay.
A socialist is a communist without a gun.
Well, that's actually not a bad definition. But, you know, Jim Carrey said on Sunday that we should all embrace it. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Look, it's a free country. That if people are stupid enough to vote socialism, look, I would say we'll buy you a ticket, go to Venezuela.
Where they're already doing it. Hey, speaking of which, the generic ballot says in November, right now the Dems are at 52, Republicans 38. Are the Republicans going to lose the House?
I saw that Quinnipiac poll this morning. I couldn't believe it. I called our friend John McLaughlin. He doesn't believe it. He says the Republicans are definitely behind, but nobody thinks it's 14 points.
So they think it's closer than that.
It's closer than that. And I said the secret is, Ryan Priebus called me before. Say hello. Wish me a happy birthday.
Tell him I said hello.
I said to him, President Trump has to solve Canada, solve China by Election Day, and have... the North Korean visit the White House, then you have a shot.
Everybody's on board then. Well,
You know what I can't believe, Kevin?
Tell me.
How well the country is doing, and nobody's giving Trump a heads up for it.
Is that really curious, though? Because the media is 99.9% against him at every turn. Like, if he blows his nose, why did he blow his nose? Why didn't he just live with it?
Trump walked on water.
Cured cancer.
The headlines would be Trump can't swim.
that's just about true. Yeah, if he cured cancer, they'd say he took away all the funding for the study groups. It'd be something along those lines.
No, it's really, we on the brink of almost a civil war in this country. Look, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s when Vietnam. And you think at that time things were bad. I think they're just as bad, if not worse, now.
I think the potential for violence is the worst I've seen it. Now, I'm young, much younger. I'm only 48. But
I got more hair.
You do, surprisingly. No, that's not surprising. I've been bald for years. But the idea that there's really not... There's not kind of the decorum in the disagreement that there used to be. And now it seems like it's just the strike of a match that could turn the whole thing into a tinderbox.
It's horrible. I was a Democrat. I was a Bill Clinton Democrat. I love Bill Clinton. What's going on now, it's horrible. You know, Jerry Nadler's a friend of mine. I ran his borough president campaign. But the only thing he wants to talk about, if he gets the Judicial Committee, if the Democrats win in November and Jerry gets the Judicial Committee, all he talks about is going to impeach Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he do?
Well, and same with Maxine Waters and Pelosi and all those things.
Maxine Waters is going to be in charge of the Finance Committee.
It's just frightening to me.
It's unbelievable. Oh, you saw the tweets that went out this morning? I think it was Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
Tweeted out, I could do a better job of running the country than Trump.
Wow.
And he actually said that, and he challenged Trump. Maybe Jamie will run.
Well,
last time Jamie did that, it cost him only a $24 billion fine.
Is that all?
From Barack Obama.
Well, here's the thing.
Barack Obama knows how to punish.
I think that Trump makes it look easy. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I've done okay in business. I can do what he's doing. And I think they grossly underestimate his overall skill. I think his ability to multitask is unparalleled in any president.
Look, he knows. Look, I know Donald for 35 years. You know, he has his own style of doing things. A lot of people don't like it. Well, a lot of people don't like it. Me, I'm used to it because I know him.
Right. But I don't mind the policies. The policies have been good as far as I'm concerned.
The small business people are doing an all-time high.
If he hadn't done anything else except that, it would have been a good term so far.
Small business people are happy. Women unemployment all-time low, black unemployment all-time low, consumer confidence way up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand.
All right, get more of John Catsimatidis in 9 minutes. 9 minutes is when Cats at Night comes your way, and it's exclusive right here on AM 970, The Answer, as your information superhighway on this Wednesday continues. Kevin McCullough coming back. My final thoughts next.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Traffic jammed up here on both sides of 287 as you travel between Route 1 and Edison and, let's say, exit 10 in Franklin, especially that northbound side is quite heavy. And a little slow both ways right around 78. Northbound 287 from Morristown up to Hanover and Parsippany were slow. And 80 westbound from 287 out to Route 15, typically slow volume as you climb the hills through Morris County. On the Parkway southbound, we're slow from the Essex Toll Plaza to 145. Again, 142 down towards 137. Northbound, we're slow 140 up to 145. Taking a look at your ride across the Hudson River. 45 minutes going back to New Jersey at the Holland Tunnel. About 10 to 15 on the city-bound side. Lincoln 15 out, still less than 5 on the city-bound side. Towards Washington Bridge, that is a pretty good ride. In Manhattan, northbound West Side Highway, we're looking at generally a slow ride coming off 12th Avenue up to the George Washington Bridge. A few breaks in the action, but nothing really to get excited about. And the FDR northbound was slow from the Williamsburg Bridge right up to the RFK Triborough Bridge. And more delays in the Harlem River Drive, 150s on up. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Hey, listen, Landmark Capital, my tremendous sponsor, is back at it again. They are offering you a very special gold coin as part of a huge drawing this fall, and I hope that you'll sign up and register and participate now. Back in 1915, the value of money and the value of an ounce of gold was quite different than today. Back then, a loaf of bread cost 7 cents. A gallon of gas was 15 cents. The average home cost $3,200. Woodrow Wilson coined the phrase, happy days are here again. Well, now President Trump is committed to making America great again, and opening trade certainly does that. One major example of this was the building of the Panama Canal. The canal was celebrated in the United States in 1915 at the Panama Pacific International Exposition World's Fair held in San Francisco. In making America great, it connected East and West and brought together the economic powerhouses of the world. Well, now we would like to commemorate that coming together of trade being expanded, just like the president is trying to expand trade, and award you a 1915 St. Gaudens gold coin. $20, 1 ounce gold coin worth nearly $2,000 today. It was minted in San Francisco, so it replicates that history and celebrates the expansion of making America great again. For your chance to win, go to am970theanswer.com and register. We'll draw the winner on December 9th and announce on December the 10th. That's am970theanswer.com.
My name is Lauren Sullivan, and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 9 years ago. And I was severely disabled. And about 6 years ago, my mother had found Balance of Nature. So we decided to give it a try because at that point, nothing was helping. I was skeptical at first, But over time, I realized I had more energy levels. I was sleeping better, which was huge. And my hair looked better. My skin looked better. My nails looked better. And then I was able to weed off some of those medications.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Are you struggling with what you see in the mirror? Stubborn belly fat, unwanted weight, dieting, starving yourself. Despite all your efforts, you're still unhappy with what you actually see. My longtime friend, Dr. Melinda Keller, has a weight loss program for you where you can be guaranteed to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in just 40 days. No drugs, no shots, no hormones, no surgery. It's all natural and doctor supervised. Call my friend, Dr. Keller, at the Brooklyn Wellness Center today. 718-234-6222.
Cats at Night with John Katzimatidis is next. Sponsored by the Red Apple Group on AM 970. The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Kevin McCullough, thanking you for your faithful listenership to Kevin McCullough Radio. Every single day, you're telling more and more people. You're making it painfully obvious if people want breaking news, what it means, why it matters. You come to Kevin McCullough Radio every afternoon. You're the one making that happen, and I can't help but say thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so grateful. And if you're not following me on Twitter, it's at KMC Radio. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and all those other places. If you want to do that, the easiest, just go to TheBingeThinker.com. Join all of my social media and then stay up to date. And on Twitter, friends, you really should join my Twitter because I get into all kinds of fights every day. Is it a fun read, Alex? You're nodding your head. I think it's a fun read. So do that. Come join us and play in the Twitter sandbox with us. It's so much fun every single day. Now, I like to try to leave something meaty to end with here, right? Every single day. If I was to tell you that there was a major study that had first been accepted by a lot of universities. In fact, it focused on Darwinian theory. So, you know, I'm not an evolutionist. I believe that there is an intelligent creator that that designed the world. But for these major universities, there was a Darwinian study that from a mathematical perspective was studying a subject that was very important. And in this study, there were very sound conclusions that were drawn. A Smith College professor and a journal editor were the two that that put this study together. And there were all these academics that approved the study and actually were going to print it in their journals. And it had been approved at various Ivy League and high-ranking colleges across the globe. But the study was yanked from acceptance in several journals. Some of the co-authors resigned from it. And it even generated threats to the authors' careers and institutions because they said that it would have this negative impact on the way that people thought about this particular subject matter. And even in places that have touted free speech, like the University of Chicago, it was rejected by the mathematical intelligentsier for political reasons. All of these things, an editor at the New York Journal of Mathematics turned it down. So what was this hugely controversial finding that this study of Darwinian theory showed to prove to be true? What was the groundbreaking reasons why this study would be so manipulated and used by politicians, maybe even right-wingers, that all of these liberal academics had to spike it on its merits? What was the subject that they unveiled, that they brought to light? That men and women are different. I'm Kevin McCullough.